Back at it here on The Fan, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, joined by Josh Epperly of Hoop Mag. Josh, thanks for taking a couple minutes for us.
Yeah, no worries.
So, I don't know how much of a shock it is for you or was for you. It's the first time I had a chance to talk to you since then. For people here, I think we've had the right idea about LeBron leaving to Los Angeles and taking his talents elsewhere. It, to me, it always comes back to LeBron signing a four-year deal, though, and not wanting to do that with Dan Gilbert. Longest deal he signed since 2010 in Miami. Josh, how do you see LeBron deciding to move to Los Angeles without many pieces in place and trying to start all over, if you will?
Yeah, I think there's really one take here, and I know that there have been some reports that this was like an insult to Dan Gilbert, and it was like a final, you know, F you out the door, but I really don't think that was the case. I think this is clearly, that was his statement, that this move wasn't really about basketball. This move was about what's best for his family. It was for what's best for his business. And, you know, basketball came third. Like, to me, the fact that he wasn't even in the meeting with Philadelphia, the fact that he decided so quickly, the fact that he's going to be gone for this next month and really hasn't had any say. You know, the report did come out that he's been in, or his people have been in contact with some of these free agency decisions, but this is not a LeBron James team they're building. I think, I don't want to say he's checked out, and I really hope that's not the case, but I think he's resigned himself to this next year being what it is and then going forward with the Lakers in the future.
If you had to bet for or against, would you say a LeBron title in Los Angeles with the Lakers uniform, with the stacked West, do you say that that's a probability that would be higher than 50%? I look at it and I think to myself, if you have Chris Paul and James Harden over the next 4 years already linked up together in Houston, and then you have at least the next 2 years of Golden State with Kevin Durant, I just see this as a lost proposition for the King.
I wouldn't even put it at 10%.
Wow.
I think we've seen our last LeBron James championship, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, in some ways it's unfortunate. I wish this team was better and more competitive and that he would be the one to bring down Golden State after how hard he's battled against them in the finals the last 4 years, But here's the thing. This was the Lakers' year, to me, to make this super team happen. There weren't a lot of teams in play. There was no money to get thrown around. They had the inside scoop with the Paul George being from there and being on record saying he wanted to go there. They had Kawhi Leonard pushing for a trade there, and they didn't get either of those things done. Now, next year, they're thinking, you know, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard are all going to be free agents, and mm-hmm. they're going to get to run again, but you know, who knows what happens with Kawhi Leonard a year from now? Maybe he's happy wherever he was, like George was. Maybe LeBron James has fallen off because it'll be year 16, and all of a sudden going there to play with him becomes similar to that Kobe deal where he took that 2 for $50, and there's just no room for anyone else to be there if Kobe's not playing at that elite level anyway, and if that's LeBron in this case. I think they really got ahead of themselves planning for a future with a franchise player that's heading into year 16. This should have been a right now, you know, pushing the envelope, even if that was DeMarcus Cousins, whatever they could have done to add stars this offseason. Next year, everyone's going to have cap. I think they really, really underestimated the here and now.
Josh, how much credit do you give Magic Johnson in this whole ordeal?
Not as much as everyone else. you know, like, everyone was really excited about the note that he went over there and closed, but I think LeBron decided to. I think LeBron decided prior to that meeting.
Yeah, it didn't matter whether it was Magic or not.
Yeah, I don't think it was any legend, you know, oh, wow, I'd love to play because Magic told me to play here. No, it was he wanted to be there for his family. He wanted to be there for his business. He has a home in Los Angeles. He lives there in the off season. You know, he decided he was going on this trip. Like, he knew he wanted to be there. It's nice that Magic, you know, closed the deal and he gets to play on this historic franchise, but I don't think this was some, wow, Magic really been some amazing rhetoric at the James House to close the deal.
Do you think LeBron would regret it? I know you said it, and you're very high on it just being a family-orientated move, and it doesn't necessarily matter if he didn't make this move to go try to win three straight championships, and I agree with you on that. Do you think LeBron, though, in seeing the moves that have been made since, whether it's McGee or whether it's Rondo, do you think right now he's feeling a little bit of regret, a little bit of apprehension? I mean, obviously, it'd be way too fast to turn that around, and I do agree that free agency next year will play a big part into what he has, but for right now, I'm not really impressed with what Los Angeles has been able to do.
What the hell are they doing? Like, might as well stack tires in Staples Center and just light them on fire. Like, what are you? The was it Ramona Shelburne who said they went and they couldn't get superstars this year player with LeBron, so they got players who weren't scared of him. And I'm like, what? Like, he's on your team. What does that even mean? Like, isn't that something you would say if you were playing against LeBron James? It makes no sense. You know, bringing in a guy like Lance Stephenson, if he thought he added some grit and some toughness and could play multiple positions, fine, I get it. But him and JaVale McGee and, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope having the clutch ties and getting that huge... Who else was paying Kentavious Caldwell-Pope $12 million a year?
Nobody. He was checking in and out to go to prison and then go play games last year. That was a reality for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
The man had an ankle bracelet on and couldn't play on the road. And he would have got the minimum from anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The only move I think LeBron's camp probably, and this is just speculation, had any say on was make sure you resign my clutch guy. And they did, the $12 million a year. So I think it's really a crazy switch from LeBron being involved in everything and wanting to compete and, you know, always wanting shooters around him. But I can't say that he is feeling, I would be shocked if he was excited about what the Lakers had done.
Joined by Hoop Magazine's Josh Eberle here on 92.3 The Fan. Let's talk about the Cavs, though, and focus on that. Kevin Love, how do you feel about the wine and gold potentially staying with Kevin Love next year and then playing in basketball hell and competing for a 9, an 8, a 7, somewhere in that range where ultimately they need to be in tank mode. They need to be on the way down as opposed to on the way up.
Yeah, you know, like conflicting reports. I thought I saw Lloyd saying that they were considering moving him.
Lloyd said that they were open to it. But what we've heard for the majority of the past couple weeks is that if something were to go down, they would act as if Kevin Love was still in play. So you're right. It is conflicting reports, and I'm sure they're going to look and see what the market can give. It's just if we know Dan Gilbert the way we know Dan Gilbert at this point, I would imagine he would try to put together the best team he possibly can, which is not what he should do.
I mean, here's the thing. Lowe and Windhorst were talking on the Low Post a couple days ago about how they're not even sure they could get a first-round pick.
Right.
Which seems, like, unfathomable to me. Like, somebody, like, a team like Memphis, a team like Dallas, that kind of foolishly thinks they can compete, they seem like the type of team that would give up a future first in a deal to bring them in and get some help and sell some seats. Like, I think, like, the team does exist, so I'll go against Lowe and Windhorst foolishly here, but I think you should look to move them. If Kevin's willing to stay and you want to play 1 year and try to, you know, stick it to LeBron by making the playoffs, like, great, I guess, have that moral victory. But at the end of the day, you do need to be tanking. You need to be tanking is such an ugly word. You do need to bottom out. You do need to add some more young guys. And here's the thing, too. You look at LaMarcus Aldridge last year without Kawhi Leonard and how happy he was being the guy on a, you know, 40-something win team instead of being one of the guys on a 60-win team. But do we want to see that version of Kevin Love again? Do we want to see Kevin Love going for 24 and 15 for a 38-win team? Like, I don't know how fun that is for anyone.
No, we saw it. That was the Minnesota years. That's not enjoyable for anybody at all, and it wouldn't be for Kevin Love. So should the Cavs do right by him? Should they, because Kevin has been so loyal and has been of the big three, the one that has maintained and decided to stay here and fulfilling out his contract, should the Cavs send him to a desirable place instead? Maybe cost themselves a little bit on the front end of that with the understanding that you're doing somebody a solid for four straight years of finals appearances.
You know what? Like, the sentimental part of me says yes, but
the business side of you says no.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, what do you don't owe Kevin Love anything? You got him out of a terrible situation, a terrible franchise in Minnesota.
Yeah,
that's imploding again right now. You got a championship ring. He was well compensated. Like, it's unfortunate that he might have to go to, say, Memphis or Sacramento or somewhere where it wouldn't be his first choice. But if that's the team that actually commits to giving you that first round pick and a young asset, and that's the team, and it's not any sort of, you know, reflection of how they feel about Kevin Love. It's just the reality of the business, and with players doing whatever they want more than ever, see DeMarcus Cousins, I don't think you should feel bad about doing what's best for your franchise.
On Twitter, you can find Josh at Josh Eberle, E-B-E-R-L-E-Y, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do we do with Ty Lue now? Ty Lue has 3 more years remaining. I maintain he's in an extremely unenviable situation, Josh, because, well, with LeBron, he got everybody to the top, but it's still LeBron's teams, and LeBron gets all the credit for it. And now, if you get rid of Kevin Love, you're banking on Colin Sexton to get you 25, 30 wins and bottom out. It seems like the worst position possible to ever prove that you could actually be a legitimate head coach.
Well, you know, I'm pretty big Ty Lue pessimist, and he's just had some moments, some befuddling moments over the last couple of years. But there are a lot of Cleveland, fans and analysts who tell me he's a great guy. The franchise loves him. It wasn't just LeBron James. And, he's an underrated coach. So I'd love to see it, whether you keep LeBron or you don't. And there are ways to show that. Like, I think even if Kevin Love is gone and this is a team, if LeBron and Love are gone, you would assume this team would be the worst team in the NBA. I don't think that's an unfair assumption. So maybe he coaches them to that 11th seed and, you keep the pick or whatever it is. But I think there's an opportunity to see it, and I would be lying if the fan and the analyst and me didn't want to see what Ty Lue could do with this unit without LeBron.
Yeah. Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, we got some reports from the Chicago Sun-Times suggesting that maybe the two of them could link up. I'm thinking New York off the bat, obviously. I think the Knicks would be a prime situation for the both of them. Throw them with Porzingis, that would be quite the match. Do you see that actually coming through? Do you feel like Kyrie, if he leaves Boston, could link up with Jimmy Butler, could make that happen?
Yeah, there's been a few reports here that the last couple months that Kyrie's already weighing his options, and he's not really committing, and wouldn't that just tickle Cavs fans if he, left Boston in the wind?
Yeah, this is to make me as enjoyable as possible. So hearing the Lakers bungle what's going on with LeBron and then hearing everything be a mess with Kyrie, kind of happy right now, Josh.
Yeah, it's just like the sour grapes that you can just kind of swallow. I think it's possible. Jimmy Butler and Kyrie have both been on the record, way before this, going back to the Olympics, that they'd love to play together, and they think they'd be a great combination, and Kyrie did talk about going to the Bulls when Butler was there. There was interest in bringing Butler in, so I think it's definitely possible. Whether it's New York or somewhere else, I don't know, but I think Kyrie would be crazy to leave that Boston situation right now.
Yeah, it just seems like it's primed. Like, he's in the perfect situation. Why would you go and try to build yourself up in a different setting, different arena? Like, don't make it harder. Don't make life harder on yourself, Kyrie. Boston wants to appreciate you. They want you to be in that chair. Just accept it and own it more than anything else. Josh Eberle, appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up with you down the road, because for some reason, NBA offseason has decided that they're a 12-year deal. They're a 12-month deal. They go around the clock, and nobody's really taking any time off, man.
Yeah, I mean, when the finals are chalked up from the day after they end, you got to move that excitement somewhere.
It's good for the content business, no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Appreciate you, Josh.
Thank you.